Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a compulsive overeater and over-exerciser.
Hi. So I'm just going to be mainly looking at the big book and just sharing on my experience of step three today. I'm very nervous, so bear with me. Step three is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I guess it's useful for me to kind of reflect on all of the ways in which before recovery I kind of tried to run the show, so tried to play God, I suppose. And I was definitely doing that around my food. Food for me is a way of, well, I'd try and control it, but I never could. I had years and years and years of just binging, and the worst problem for me was kind of yo-yoing, so I'd really try and control my weight. So I'd binge to get me through things that were difficult in my life. And I'd have no control over that. And I'd almost kind of give myself permission to binge for a certain period. It would be like when I was at university, I'd binge through an entire essay or an entire term. And I'd sit in the library with bags and bags of food and just do this all day long. And I'd put on a couple of stone or more, but in the space of, you know, a few weeks really. So it was kind of, people that saw me couldn't really believe that I'd put on that much weight in that amount of time. And I was never like hugely overweight, but the rapid yo-yoing was a real problem for me. And then I'd kind of get to the end, I'd hand an essay in, there'd be a bit of time off, there'd be summer, and I'd go, right, well, now I'm gonna lose it all. And, you know, that was my way of controlling nothing, you know, there was never God's will in my life before. Anyway, so I'm gonna just start reading from page 60 where it says, being convinced we were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. But just what do we mean by this, and just what do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. It goes on to say that we as compulsive overeaters or alcoholics are like an actor that wants to run the whole show. So not only did I do that with food, but I tried to control people and places and things. And I was a very fearful person. And I just wanted to fit in. I wanted everyone to like me. So, you know, when I left university, I kind of went from job to job and place to place, looking for kind of a fix, or I used to think it will be all right when I get this job or I get this opportunity or I move in with these people. And exactly the same pattern would happen again, and I did this multiple times. And the only thing that stayed consistent during that time was my binging and, you know, over-exercising. And nothing ever helped, but I continued to repeat these things. And I was just trying to control people. I also grew up with my mum, who has her own addiction, and I thought it was my job to fix her and to make that go away. And I just grew up with so much anger that she couldn't give up for me. Like, you know, I thought, oh, if she loves me, she should be able to give up alcohol. And now, with my own addiction, it's amazing how much compassion I can have for her, because I know that no matter how much I loved anyone or how much I thought I wanted to get well, I couldn't put down food. I would have done anything for food. And nothing got in the way of that. I completely turned my life over to food. I thought it was my job to fix everything as well. Um, So I guess the next part of this is that I have to find that, see that, you know, have a step one in that, realise that a life run on self-will was not working. And I think I finally got this when I came into OA about, thank you, around 2016 in another part of the country when I started going to meetings. And I think to find other people who ate like I ate and talked about it honestly was sort of mind-blowing for me, and I found real hope in that. And I kind of got a lot of relief and had a sort of a food plan, and I sort of thought, oh, this God idea is quite nice and makes me feel good. And but very quickly I moved to London, and I put my whole, I just thought, well, those meetings that I go to that really help me, I'll find that when I've sorted out my house and I've sorted out my degree and I've sorted out all my life stuff, I'll put that first for a bit and then I'll come back to recovery. And it was about 3 months, and very quickly I was completely on my knees when I came into a group in Eltham. And I was so broken. I was eating things and eating in ways I never thought I would again. I remember my housemate made like a batch of cookies for my other housemate's birthday, and she put them on the table, and I just hadn't touched like chocolate or cakes in years. And I just thought, I'll never eat those things again. You know, they're none of my business. And then, you know, it took a few months, and I was just going back to that cookie tin. And, you know, someone's birthday cookies, they were mine. You know, I had no defense against them. And I just walked into that meeting, and I needed that, though. I think I needed to see that when I try and control it myself, it doesn't work at all. I had to have a real rock bottom with that and see that, okay, I tried my very last time to control food, and it just had me on my knees. So I proved to myself that, you know, my life had become unmanageable, my food had become unmanageable because I had tried to control it. So I was then at a point where I was like, well, whatever you're going to suggest to me, I'm willing to turn, you know, I was just willing to hand it over to someone else. And I think the first step of that for me was finding a sponsor. And she kind of said to me, are you willing to go to any lengths for your recovery? And I said yes, but honestly, I was shaking on the phone. I just thought, I don't think I am really. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're asking of me. I'm terrified, but I just said yes anyway. And it was just that I only had to do that one day at a time. If you'd have said to me, this is for the rest of your life, I would have run for the hills. But she said, can you do it today? And I said, yeah, I'll do it today. You know, I'm completely willing to do it today. I just wanted the noise and the madness gone, and I wanted to not think about food anymore. And one day at a time, that's still what I do. I wake up in the morning and I try to hand my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him, and it comes back sometimes. This week I've had like a little health niggle going on, and you know, I tried to hand that over. I went to the GP and they didn't give me the answer that I wanted, so I went to Google and I use my own self-will, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll find the answers, and before I know it, I'm just worrying and obsessing and obsessing, and I don't have the answers. I never did, and I never will. So I just have to write a step 10 and hand those things over to God and to my fellows, if it's not shifting, through phone calls to my sponsor, and just say, look, this is what I'm trying to do in my own self-will. I'm asking God to take it from me. And I guess I just want to focus on some of the kind of the miracles in my life, really, that have come out of handing my life over to something bigger than me, knowing that I can't do it myself. And so the first thing, I guess, was food, and the fact that I don't have to think about food is just so much freedom. And the fact that I don't control my weight. When I first came into program, I really struggled with that because I had an idea of what I wanted to be in terms of weight, and I wasn't losing weight for months, and I kept saying to my sponsor, you know, I don't know what's wrong, like I'm eating healthily and it's not, and I was obsessing over it. And she kind of said to me, you know, you haven't handed that over, you know, your weight isn't, just as if your food isn't your business, your weight isn't your business. And when I finally got to that point of like, oh God, I'm really just going to surrender, maybe this is what I'm supposed to be. I've never been a normal, healthy weight. I've never been the same. So I don't know what it's supposed to be. Maybe this is it. And when I handed that over, the weight actually came off. But it was like when I stopped wanting it so much, and when I stopped chasing it, it kind of happened. But I was happy with it not happening anyway. And I guess the only physical miracle was really that I can wear the same clothes, like, in different seasons. Like, I've got the same jeans that I've worn for 3 years. That never happened. I had a pile of fat clothes, a pile of thin clothes, and I'd yo-yo between them every couple of months, sometimes quicker than that. Other things are, like, I managed to do essays in my degree abstinently, like sit at a computer all day writing without eating all day. And I thought, when I first had to do it, I called my sponsor, I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to write anything. And when I hand that over and I said, God, please help me write this essay without eating, I wrote an essay, and actually my grades were a lot lower than they used to be, because I used to just push myself with food and whatever I needed, and I had to get these grades. And I just thought, you know, it doesn't matter what grades I get, I want to be abstinent at the end of it. And I passed everything, but I did that abstinently, and it meant so much to me, whereas any other achievement I'd had before meant nothing, because I was just miserable. A huge miracle for me has been being able to forgive and to have compassion towards my mum when I felt so much anger towards her for years. I do with food what she does with alcohol, and it's exactly the same. I think when I used to read the big book, I just saw it as nothing to do with me. And when I had my sort of real rock bottom, I started to read that book, and it was talking about me for the first time. And I could really relate to it. And I can see that, you know, we're the same person. I'm just lucky enough to have a program. And I don't hold any grudges against her. I sort of mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I don't seek approval from my sister anymore, which is, I just have grown up doing that, but I'm able to come to a meeting and say, this is what I'm doing to keep me well. And she's grateful. She said to me, she doesn't understand what I do, but she's seen that I'm happier, that I'm calm, that I can be there for her. I'm not just in my own problems all the time. And our relationship is so much better for it, which I never thought would be possible. I go to things that I'm scared of. I'm doing a chair, even though my head tells me that, you know, you have no right to do a chair. You're not good at recovery enough. You can't stand out. You don't speak up. Stay small. Stay silent. Part of me is really sort of getting to grips with my understanding of a higher power, which is a loving voice that doesn't want me to stay small or stay hidden or stay miserable. It wants me to be part of the world. So that's what I try and do, even when I'm really scared. There's so many things. It's my birthday today, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'll go and I'll spend time with friends, but it doesn't have to be like this amazing thing. And I haven't stressed about what I'm going to wear or how much weight I'm going to lose beforehand, or whether I'll have the cake or not, or whether I'll have this or not, or planning my meal and then planning what I'm going to binge on afterwards, or, you know, and then next week being in the food again, you know. And that for me is just so much freedom. So, yeah, I just want to say I'm just really grateful for this programme, and I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Abby.